we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in. It is February the 2nd, 2018, and we are so thankful that you have made the Refresh radio program part of your morning drive or your morning routine, however it might be. You are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM, and my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and it is our privilege to spend the next half hour with you today. We want to start off today by saying thank you to the fine folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538. I was in a conversation with a person earlier this week, and they were talking about it's cold, it's hot, it's cold, it's hot, it's cold, it's hot. And, you know, your air conditioner and your heater is saying, you're hot, you're cold, you're hot, you're cold, you're hot, you're cold. And if your air conditioner has rebelled and said, you know what, I'm sick of this and I'm just not going to function right now, I want to encourage you to give the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric a phone call, 321-632-9538, whether it's minor, whether it's major, whether it just needs to have a little bit of maintenance done on it. I want you to give them a call. They will treat you fairly. They are reputable. They are experts in what they do, and it will be a blessing to you. I don't know about you, but there are certain industries that you just like to make sure that you are dealing with reputable people who are going to be treating you fairly. And all of the sponsors here at the Refresh Radio program, they will take good care of you. And so if you can give them a call, Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538. So today we are going to be talking one more time about everyday faithfulness. And we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. We're drawing close to the end of this. We'll probably end up on this fruit of the spirit of faithfulness sometime next week. But I hope it's been a blessing to you, because to the faithful, God shows himself faithful. And I want you to see the faithfulness of God as a manifest reality in your life. I want to see the manifest reality of God's faithfulness in my life, in my church, in my family, in my home. And that is what our desire is. So I don't rush through these topics. If I maybe beat a horse a little bit too long here as far as this topic goes, I don't actually beat horses, just in case somebody's out there and saying he beats horses. No, it's just an expression of speech. I would rather cover it to the point where it becomes a reality in your life than just to touch on it and it'd be a blip on the radar screen and it'll be forgotten 2 weeks from now. So I believe that God wants a faithful people because he is a faithful God. So we want to see faithfulness in every arena of our life. And that's what we are talking about here with these everyday areas of faithfulness. Now, this one is going to sound very familiar, but I may come at it from a different angle than what you are used to hearing it. But let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 31. We're going to begin reading at verse number 2. And it says, "And Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites according to their divisions, each man according to his service, the priests and Levites for burnt offerings and peace offerings, to serve, to give thanks, and to praise in the gates of the camp of the Lord. The king also appointed a portion of his possessions for the burnt offerings, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and the new moons and the set feast, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests of the Levites that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance of the the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and of all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the children of Israel and Judah, who dwelt in the cities of Judah, brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of holy things which were consecrated to the Lord their God. They laid in heaps. In the third month they began laying them in heaps, and they finished in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, "Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is this great abundance." Now Hezekiah commanded them to prepare rooms in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. Then they faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes, and the dedicated things. Conaniah the Levite had charge of them, and Shimei his brother was the next. Jehiel, Azariah, Nahath, Azahel, Jeremoth, Jehozabad, Eliel, Ismachiah, Mahath, and Benaiah were overseers under the hand of Conaniah and Shimei his brother. Aren't you thankful that your mother didn't name you those? At the commandment of Hezekiah, the king and Azariah, the ruler of the house of God, Korah the son of Imnah the Levite, the keeper of the east gate, was over the freewill offerings to God to distribute the offerings of the Lord and the most holy things. That's where we're going to end the reading today. So we're going to talk today about the faithfulness of God's people when it comes to the act of giving. I want you to see a very important purpose. It says in verse number 4 that Hezekiah had issued the command for the people to contribute for the work of the temple. And it says this in verse number 4, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. Okay? If you remember in Acts chapter 6, the reason that deacons were created and put into office was so that the disciples could devote themselves to study and to to prayer and to the ministry of the word. To prayer and the ministry of the word. Let me read that for you. It says in verse number 4 of Acts chapter 6, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Whenever there is an act of unfaithfulness or an area of unfaithfulness, there is something that is going to be neglected as a result of that. Now, this should not be something that where there's faithfulness on the part of the people and then there's unfaithfulness on the part of the priest. That wasn't what this was about. This was, the priests were the mediators in the Old Testament. They were the mediators between the people and their God. They were there to serve the people on behalf of God and to serve God on behalf of the people. That's what was supposed to take place. And up until this command, there was a neglect in the area of finance, so that and offerings, whether it was the sheep, the oxen, whatever it might be, there was a neglect in that arena, and the ministry was suffering as a result of that. There was a book that I was presented many, many years ago, more of a booklet than it is a book. It was probably 35 or 40 pages, large print, no pictures, but large print. It was a very easy read, and it talked about how this one particular church was suffering with the upkeep of their building. They were suffering with paying their bills. There were all sorts of financial lack, and it was manifesting in other areas. The pastor was not being compensated sufficiently, so there were problems there. The building was suffering. Missions was suffering. There was a lot of different areas. And so there was a successful businessman in the church, and he happened to own, what are those places called? It was an agrarian society, whether it's a grain mill, we'll call it a grain mill today. It was where farmers took their crops in order to sell them. And this guy was the one who owned that particular quote unquote grain mill. If it's the wrong term, please forgive me. I'm just having a mental block right at the moment. And so the people of the church said, we need a church treasurer. And seeing how you've got a successful business, we would like for you to be the treasurer of the church. And he said, I will only do it under one condition. And they, well, under two conditions. They said, well, what are those two conditions? He said, you let me operate the church finances biblically. And second, nobody asks me any questions. And they said, well, okay, we suppose that we can do that. And so a year had gone by, and when the annual business meeting came around, the treasurer got up there and he said, in the last year, the finances have never been better. He said, every project that needed attention around the church property has been taken care of. All of the bills are paid. We don't owe anybody anything. The pastor has received a raise, and we have X number of dollars in the bank as a surplus. God has been good. And they said, how is that possible? We don't really have that many different people in here than we did a year ago. We all know what was going on financially. And he said, well, he said, it was very simple. He said, whenever you brought your crops into me to sell them to the grain mill, he said, I just automatically wrote a check to the church for your tithe. And as a result of that, you never missed it, because it was taken out before you ever saw it. And as a result of that, everybody in the congregation has now started tithing, and the income of the church has risen a great degree, and God has seriously blessed the church. You say, well, that's kind of underhanded and things like that. And you know, I don't know how everybody felt about that, but I do know this, that there's a price tag whenever there is unfaithfulness financially. I remember hearing another story about a man who his household was starving. As soon as he would get paid on Friday, he would go to the bars and he would spend all of his money that he had at the bar. And then when he went home, he didn't have any money. And that happened week after week after week. And so he had broken down furniture. His kids needed clothes. His household needed food. And one day he got radically and marvelously and gloriously saved. And as a result of that, he went and no longer was he wasting his paycheck. He stopped going to the bars and spending all of his money there. Instead, he started acting like a responsible financial child of the living God. And all of a sudden, God began to bless his household, and there was food in his house, and there was furniture in his house. And and everything was being taken care of. You see, sin has a price tag. And in all actuality, it's more than you want to pay. I don't know if you've ever driven down the road and you've seen a car that you saw a price tag on it that said $199 or $299 or $599 or $900. And you looked at it and said, man, that car looks like it's worth a whole lot more than that. And then you got up there and when you checked the price, you saw that was the amount of the down payment. That wasn't the purchase price. You see, the devil will never advertise the full price of the sin or the compromise or the unfaithfulness that he is trying to sell into your life. But I guarantee you this, it's more than what you are willing to pay. So when the king issued this command and he said, it is going to be beneficial for you to bring your tithes into the storehouse and your offerings into the storehouse, it's going to be beneficial for you because when you do that, the priests are going to be able to represent you without being distracted by all of the other problems that demand their attention right now. And so when the people heard this, they obeyed and they began to bring it in. And then there were heaps and heaps and heaps. You see, the Levites had no inheritance in the land. They weren't landowners. They weren't property owners. They were created by God to be his people. He was their inheritance and they were his. And so Hezekiah and the leaders of the people come around and they see all of this massive quantity of food. And he asks the priest, he says, what is all of this? And the chief priest says, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left. For the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is this great abundance. And so Hezekiah said, well, we can't just let it out here and let it rot. And so all of a sudden now there's a construction project that needs to take place. There's storehouses that need to be built. There are rooms that need to be prepared. And so now you have an economy that is going, and now some of those people who brought in their tithes, now they have jobs that they're going to get paid for. And it said, then they faithfully brought in the tithes, or their in the offerings, the tithes and the dedicated things. So let me just explain to you where I am at. The tithe does not belong to me. When I have income that comes in, that first 10%, by the way, tithing does not mean 10%. And all of a sudden everybody just went, oh, that's not what I've always heard. Tithing does not mean 10%. Tithing means the first 10%. It means that the first thing that you do with whatever is entrusted to you, that belongs to God. And so I want to encourage you. He's described that as holy. It belongs to him. And so whenever we have anything that comes in, last year, because of a piece of property that my son and I owned together, we sold that, and I was able to write the largest tithe check I had ever written. It was so exciting. You see, I don't get excited when I give less. I get excited when I get to give more. I will also say that the tithe is not the it belongs to God, but it is not the maximum amount. You see, at that point in time, God may stir in your heart to give an offering, whether it's a first fruit offering or just a love offering, a sin offering, a fellowship offering. Something moves in your heart and you just say, you know what, I just want to give, whether it is to meet a need or whether it is to be a blessing to someone. You see, God operates with the gift of giving. He will cause you to have this longing to give. So let me talk a little bit about that. You see, I want to be faithful to give. I have been in a situation before where I had a heart to give and I didn't have the resource to give. And that is a place that I don't ever care to be. So I've always told people who said that they didn't have anything to give. I said, well, are you in the soup line? Back in the early parts of the 1900s, there were soup lines in America because the economy was so bad that people didn't have jobs and they would line up for just to get a bowl of soup. And I don't know about you, but I'd much rather serve in a soup line than I would to have to depend upon a soup line. My family and I know what it is like to have needed WIC when our kids were young. And so now we are not in a position where we have to do that. And I want you to know that those experiences that we had have not gone forgotten. Instead, now my wife and I have this heart to be able to minister to kids who may not have much in the way of financial resource and may have financial need when it comes to food. I want you to know we absolutely love kids. We were youth pastors. Every youth group I ever pastored was to kids that weren't the up and outers of society. They were the down and outers of society. And we loved on them. We looked for ways to make sure that they would be able to experience the reviving presence of God to the best of our ability. So a few things, a few references where you might look up about this being faithful in the area of giving. And I pray that God will make you an extravagant giver. I tell you, I've known what it is like to drive some really rough vehicles, some vehicles that had more. I mean, they were sanctified vehicles because they had rust holes all in them. They were a holy transportation. Known what that was like. But over the past few years, my wife and I have had the privilege to be able to give away some vehicles. We've had a vehicle given to us, and through the years we've had a number of vehicles given to us, but we've also had the privilege of being able to give other vehicles away. And I would say that probably through the years I'm now close to having given away in the neighborhood of 10 vehicles. Now some of them weren't anything to really write home about, but others of them were my vehicle. It was the vehicle I was driving. And so a man in my church, he just got another vehicle and he said, I already know who God wants me to give my old vehicle to. I love people who love to give to God because it empowers ministry. When you hear people say that the church is all about getting money, I want you to understand that is not the case at all. That's not the case at all. The church is more about giving than we are receiving. But it does take income in order to be able to finance those various things. If it wasn't for the faithful giving of God's people, this Refresh Radio program wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for the faithful giving of God's people, this radio station wouldn't be here. And so in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David has it in his heart to build the temple of God. And he, at the beginning of the chapter, it describes how he had amassed this huge amount of material for a building that was not going to be much larger than the structure at Merit Assembly of God. It was going to be taller. It was going to be more ornate. Several years ago, a pastor in a message that I was listening to said that the cost of that temple that you could fit on a very small parcel of land was in the neighborhood of $1 billion in today's money. Every deacon board across the county would be having a coronary if the pastor came in and said, well, we're going to build a billion-dollar sanctuary. And David begins to describe to the people about everything that he had amassed out of his own personal treasury. Now, there's two things that I want to take note of there. God had taken a faithful shepherd boy who was watching someone else's sheep and had caused him to be extraordinarily wealthy. And David said, I'm going to lead the charge. When the site was selected and it was at the threshing floor of Arona that the temple would be built, David said, no, I'm going to pay for this. I'm not going to do something for God that doesn't cost me anything. You see, David was a person who loved to give. The leaders, once they saw David leading in the emphasis of giving, the leaders started coming and giving. You can see that again in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And they came and they just gave abundantly, so much so that the people were rejoicing at this gift of giving that was in operation, that there was faithfulness on the part of the king, there was faithfulness on the part of the leaders, and they were giving for the work of the Lord. There's one more thing that I'm going to talk about, and it's in Exodus chapter 36, verse number 5. And that is when they were building the tabernacle. And the people who had literally plundered the financial wealth of Egypt came and brought all of this abundance of resource, and they gave it for the construction of the tabernacle. And it says in verse number 5, let me take you back there so I can read it. I think we've got enough time to get there before the clock goes chimey chime there. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse number 5. Let's look back at verse number 3. And they received from Moses all the offering what the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the making of the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each one from the workspace he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work for which the Lord commanded us to do. And they commanded them to stop giving. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.